Thank you, guys. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's stay focused. Let's stay sitting up. Let's keep our heads up. Let's keep our eyes up here, please. And whatever else you're thinking about, I urge you and I beg you to set them aside for just a moment and just listen to what the Lord has for tonight. So everybody sitting up, heads up, paying attention. If you got a headache, I know sometimes those come up. Man, just push through it. And it'll be all right. Let's look at verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. Everybody looking at a Bible, following along. It says this, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me." Verse 12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Paul here is talking and he's telling Timothy, this is why it's called 2 Timothy, it's a letter to Timothy, and he's telling about all the things that he's been through, the persecutions and the afflictions, and he was beaten, he was put in jail, but he said that God delivered him out of all of them. He said, man, even though I went through that stuff, God brought me through it. And then he says in verse 12, and this is the verse that applies to every one of us as teenagers, adults alike, in verse 12, "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." I don't think it's the same kind of persecution as they're talking about here, as in, like, you know, getting thrown to the lions and that kind of stuff. But listen, you may get made fun of at school. You may get made fun of by family. You know, that's a form of persecution. Not as strong as it was for Paul, but listen, you'll face it. Not everybody, you know, people aren't for that. Look at verse 13. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And if you, the beginning of this chapter, verse 1, says the last days, perilous times shall come. And it's talking about those last days before the Lord comes. That, man, this is going to be a big mess. It's going to be a bad time. And evil men, seducers, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's why nowadays, you know, all these people teaching you that it's okay to have an abortion and homosexuality is not a sin. And they're saying the Bible's wrong and God's not real. And that's why we're being taught in the schools and all over the place. It's wicked, wicked, wicked. Look, verse 14, though. Okay, he says, yes, in verse 13, "evil men, seducers, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." In verse 14 is our text verse that says this, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Look at verse 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Why do we need to learn the Bible? It says in verse 15, from a child you know the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. Why? Because in verse 17, "that the man of God may be perfect." And that doesn't mean without sin, like you never sin because nobody is that kind of perfect, but it means whole. "Man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." That text verse, verse 14, "continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." Look up here now. Thank you for following along. Look up here. And hopefully all of our phones are on silent, including mine, because it was on volume earlier. If your phone's not on silent, make sure it is. Looking up here now, guys. Looking up here. Focus now. Question for everybody. You can raise your hand. How many of you have ever gone with our church to a camp or a youth rally or a youth conference? Raise up your hand. I think pretty much all of us have been to a conference, in a rally, that kind of thing. Please don't tip in your chair. How many at that camp or at that rally or at that conference, whatever it was, even if it was here, you've made a decision, maybe at the altar, maybe in your seat, maybe it was to obey your parents better, to read your Bible, to pray, something like that. You made a decision at that conference, camp. Raise your hand up. Okay? I think, again, that's pretty much all of us. Now, here's the honest question. I want you to be really honest. How many say, "Pastor Donald, I went to those camps. I made those decisions with the right heart, true desire to follow through. But not soon after, I failed. I messed up." Okay. My hand's up too, doing the same thing as a teenager, even as an adult sometimes. We make real commitments in our hearts. Listen, I have no doubt. Listen. I have no doubt that at Teens Beck and at camp and at youth rallies, when I watch you teenagers go up to an altar and pray, and some of you even cry and say, God, I want to be a better witness. God, I want to read my Bible more. Lord, I want to pray more and be better to my parents. And you tell the Lord those things and you make those commitments. And I believe that you really, really mean it. You're not just faking. You're not just putting on a show for me. I really believe that in your heart, you really, really mean it. You really want to read your Bible more. You really want to pray more. You really want to follow God's will for your life. I truly believe when I watch you that you really mean it with the right heart. And we make real commitments in our hearts, but for some reason, those commitments that we make seem to fade away, right? They seem to fade away. Am I right? Nod your head if I'm right. They seem to fade away after a little while. We don't read our Bible like we wanted to. After a week, maybe we'll read for a week straight, and then we'll miss a day, and then we'll miss another day, and then we'll try to pick it back up. But it just, man, we get out of it. Or praying so hard, or being a witness, or honoring your parents. Some of us, man, I'm going to honor and respect my parents, and you do, and you try, and then something happens, and you get mad, and you yell at them, or you mouth off, and then it gets worse and worse, and the decisions that you made, they begin to fade away. I think of myself as a teenager. I had a problem listening to the wrong kind of music. All different kinds of music. And I would go to camps and conferences and God would convict me. And I'd be like, man, I know I shouldn't be listening to that music. It's not helping my Christian life. It's not honoring to God. I need to get rid of that music. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go home and I'm going to, you know, back then it was CDs more than the iPod. And I'd go home and I'd throw those CDs away. So I did have an iPod, the early iPod, the big thick one. And I'd go off and I'd clean it off. Man, I'd get all the music off there. But it would seem after a little while, even if I replaced it with stuff, you know, the right kind of music, that I would hear a song in a store. I'm like, oh, man, I remember that song. Or I'd be like, man, I really love that song. And it would get right back into it. I struggle with it. Other decisions that I tried to make, man, I'd fail at them. Why don't we stay committed? The message tonight is this, teenager. And listen. The message tonight is this. Continually committed. Continually committed. The last thing that I want as a youth pastor, actually, I'll say it for me first. The last thing that I want for me, Pastor Donald, that the decisions that I make, the commitments that I make for the Lord, that I fail at them. And then I got to, you know, the next time, do it again. I want to make a commitment and stick with the commitment. And yeah, I'm not perfect. I know that. But that's what I mean. I want to be continually committed. And as a youth pastor, my desire for you teenagers is that when you do come up to an altar, whether it's here at the church or at a rally or at a conference, when you do come up to an altar and God is working on your heart and you kneel down and you say, Lord, I want to do this. Or Lord, I want to commit this to your Lord. I want to stop doing this. And you make those commitments to God. My desire for you is that you will continually stay committed, that you'll keep that decision, that you won't mess up. Listen, we're not perfect, like I said, but when you do maybe fail, you get right back up and say, you know what, I'm not doing it, I'm committed. I want you to be continually committed. We're going to look tonight at why we don't stay committed. Why don't we stay committed? I want you to think in your heart right now of a decision that you made at a rally, at a service, at a camp, whatever. And please, 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 I'm begging you to listen tonight. Focus. Devil's going to try to attack you and get you thinking about other stuff. Focus tonight, guys. I want you to think of a decision you made that you messed up on. And I'm going to talk about one because, listen, like I said, we're not perfect. Listen, I make commitments to God, Lord, I'm going to read my Bible more. And I sometimes fail at that, like not do it like I should. But I haven't given up. And I'm talking about a decision maybe that you just gave up on. Or you're really struggling with keeping this decision. Maybe it's honoring your parents. Maybe it's reading your Bible. Maybe it's being a better witness. Maybe it's having the right attitude. Maybe it's giving up anger. Maybe it's giving up bitterness or forgiving someone. And you're struggling keeping that decision. Why don't we stay committed? Go to Proverbs. We're going to turn a lot tonight. I want you to go as quick as you can. Proverbs chapter 22. You girls in the back of the Bible? Is it on your phone? I prefer if you use an actual Bible. Not that I don't trust you. You got a regular one? Okay, I prefer if you use that. Not that I don't trust you. I know I got Bible on my phone too, but it's just bigger and it's just it's easier. So Proverbs 22, okay? Why don't we stay committed? Hey, number one, and I'll tell you in a minute after we read the verse. Proverbs chapter 22 and look at verse 3. Proverbs 22 and verse 3 says this. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Go a few chapters over to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27. That verse in 22:3 said, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Proverbs 27, and look at verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. It's kind of deja vu there. The exact same verse. I always say, man, if God said it twice, it must be really important. Number one, why don't we stay committed? Why can't we keep these decisions? Why do we fail so often? Number one, we're not cautious. We're not cautious. The word prudent means, prudence means being careful, careful, good judgment that allows someone to avoid danger or risk. When that verse says a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, it would be like if I was at the road and getting ready to cross the street, and I look this way and I saw no cars coming, and I look this way and I see a Mack truck coming down, and I say, you know what, I'm not going to cross the street because I don't want to get hit by a truck. I saw it coming, so I said, I'm going to wait till it's gone and then I'll safely cross the street. And in our spiritual lives, being prudent, we see, you know what, I'm not going to go to that place because I know I'm going to do something stupid and sin. I'm not going to hang around those people because I'm going to mess up. You see it coming. See, I'm not going to put myself in a situation that allows me to break the promise that I made to God. I'm going to see it coming. But the reason that we don't stay committed, teenager, is because we're not cautious. We're like that person at the street. We see the truck coming and we decide to go anyway and we break our promise to God and we mess up because we're not cautious. We're not careful. You make a commitment to live for God, but you still hang around the wrong kind of friends, ungodly friends. Again, I'll say it again. Every time I talk about having an ungodly, I don't mean you got to be a jerk to people and be rude and be holier than thou and act like you're better than everyone. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying if you have friends in your life that are not going the same direction that you want to go, which is hopefully towards the will of God and following God and living holy, if your friends are not going that direction, then you have no business hanging around them for long periods of time. I'm not saying you got to X them out and be a jerk to them, but I am saying if you are choosing to soak yourself up with that kind of friendship that is ungodly and wicked and sinful and doing the wrong kind of things and talking about the wrong kind of things and participating in the wrong kind of sinful activities, if you surround yourself with that, how do you expect to keep the commitment that you made to God to live for Him? It's not going to happen. You're not being cautious. You're crossing the street ready to hit by a truck. You say, I want to live for God, but I'll hang around those friends that don't want to live for God. You make a commitment to live for God, but you still listen to the wrong kind of music. And it fills your mind and it fills your heart with the wrong kind of wicked thoughts. Listen, teenager. I think every one of us in here, we have no visitors tonight. I believe every one of us have made professions of faith saying, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, okay? Most of the time, the music nowadays, it's not that hard to realize that God is not pleased with it. It's not that hard. You listen to the lyrics of probably any rap song, and believe me, I'm white and all that. You say, well, you don't know nothing about rap music. The music I was talking about having a hard time giving up was rap music. And granted, it was 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago. But still, it's pretty much all the same. It talks about nothing most of the time, nothing but garbage. 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 Degrading to women. Degrading to authority. And all that jazz. That is not that hard to realize that that's not good. It's not that hard. But I like the beat. You know what? That's a cop-out, and that's stupid. It's wrong. You're filling your mind with the wrong kind of thoughts. You just are. It's that simple. How do you expect to keep your commitment to God when you're filling your mind with the wrong kind of, whether it's rap or country or rock or heavy metal or whatever it may be? How do you expect to keep your commitment to God when you're filling your mind with ungodly music? You make a commitment to God, you make a commitment to live for God, but you refuse to obey your parents' rules because you don't agree with them. I know how some of you treat your parents. I've seen it. It sickens me sometimes. And look, this comes from someone who did the same kind of stupid stuff as a teenager. You know, my dad usually didn't take very well to it and dealt with me. We make a commitment to live for God, but we treat our parents like garbage. We treat our moms like garbage, and our dad, we disrespect and don't obey the rules and sneak around them. And when they challenge us or they say, hey, I don't want you to do that, we get all mouthy with them and we mouth off and yell at them. How do you expect to live for the Lord and keep that commitment when you're not even obeying the authority in your life that you can see? You're not going to. Say it 1,000 times, I'll say another. If you're not right with your parents, you're not right with God. If you're not right with your parents, you're not right with God. You make a commitment to live for God, but you get on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat and you post or share absolutely wicked stuff. And you know what? I'm friends with a lot of you on Facebook. And I see some of the stuff that gets shared. And guys, I want to live for God. Oh, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to do right. And I want to be in your will. And then you're going on Facebook and you're posting garbage. You're sharing garbage. You're friends with people and liking pictures and posts of garbage, of ungodly, wicked things. That's not being committed. That's not being continued. That's not. You're breaking the commitment to live for God. You make a commitment to live for God and you watch whatever you want on TV or movies or whatever and on, you're not being cautious. You're not setting up walls. If you commit your life to God, listen to this statement. If you commit your life to God, you must set up boundaries in your life. Teenager, you need to, you know what, for some of you, I look around the room, your parents have set up boundaries for you. That's it, easy, man. Okay, my parents said I can't do this, 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 and this, and this. So I just got to obey those rules, and the boundaries are already there. But for some of you, for a good portion of you, and you know who you are, and I know who you are, you've got to make your own rules for your life. You can pretty much do whatever you want. You have a lot of freedom in your life. Freedom that really, in my opinion, you shouldn't have as a teenager. Because you know what? You're still learning and trying to figure things out. And listen, you're a teenager. I'm still immature in a lot of ways. As an adult with 3 kids and a wife. And as a teenager, I was a billion times more immature. Didn't know how to make the right decisions. But some of you are faced and you have that freedom to make your own decisions. So you personally have to set up your own walls. If you just kind of go through life doing whatever you want and you have no boundaries, you're going to fail. You're going to fail on God. You're going to fail on whatever He wants for you. You're going to break commitments because you have no boundaries. I'll listen to what I want to listen to. I'll hang around who I want to hang around. I'll dress the way I want to dress. I'll do what I'll go to church when I want to. That's not being committed. You're not being cautious. Decisions have got to be made. And listen, I know I'm talking about commitments you make at the altar, but I'm saying, if you're cautious and you really, really want to stay committed to God, you will make decisions like, I will not hang around ungodly people. Listen, if you live with people that aren't saved and that don't live for God, that's one thing. But when you choose to be around people that are away from God or that don't want anything to do with God, that's going to hurt your walk with God. I will not hang with ungodly. I will not listen to ungodly. I will not watch ungodly TV. I will not go to ungodly places. I will not disrespect my parents. I will not dress and look like the world. I will not post trash on social media. Listen, decisions that you need to make in your heart, and it's just walls that you're setting up. Boundaries. Boundaries, guys. Walls. You want to be continually committed to the Lord? You've got to be cautious. The reason you're not, the reason I'm not sometimes is because I'm not cautious. I'm not seeing the danger coming. You've got to be cautious. And here's the truth, guys. You will not set up boundaries in your life if your heart is not right with God. I can sit here and preach and yell and scream and say, don't listen to ungodly music, and don't hang out with the wrong kind of people, and don't do this, and don't do that, and blah, 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 blah. And you may even come to the altar and say, Lord, I don't want to hang out with the wrong kind of people, and I don't want to listen to the wrong kind of music, and blah, 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 blah. And you can say those things, but if your heart does not make a change, then it's one ear, not the other. And I know that, and that's the scary part, man. I know that me just saying it doesn't fix the problem. Me telling you that the music that you're probably listening to is wrong and God doesn't like it, it doesn't really do anything, just me saying it. You have got to believe it and realize it and make the decision to not listen to it. And I can say, man, if you're hanging around the wrong kind of people, you got to, don't do that, it's wrong, and they're going to hurt you spiritually. And I can say those things, and it's true, and you may even know that it's true, but unless in your heart you say, you know what? He's right. The Bible's right. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Be not conformed to this world. You know what? They're right. I shouldn't be hanging around with people. And I can't be around. I want to be committed to God. Until you make that change in your heart, nothing will change. If you refuse to be cautious, you will continue down the road of destruction of God's will for your life. And that's the truth. When you make things right with God, like, I mean, you get your heart right with God. Say, Lord, whatever your word says, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. Whatever boundaries I need to set up, I'll do it. When you have that kind of heart, you don't care about, it doesn't bother you to give up your music or to give up your friends. Because you're like, man, I want to please God. I don't want to please myself. I want to please God. You're glad to make the decision because your heart is right with God. And that's really the first part of it. Your heart's got to be right with God. Why don't we stay committed? Number one, we're not cautious. Number two, go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And verse 8, this is what it says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Okay, the Bible. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God has given us his word for a reason. And he says, listen, if you read it, if you live it, then thou shalt make the way prosperous. That's a good thing. And have good success. Number two, why don't we stay committed? Number two, because we're not consistent. We're not consistent. See, I'm going to read my Bible more. I need to read my Bible more. You say, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to be more faithful to church. I'm going to be a witness. I'll treat my parents better. I'm going to hang around the right kind of people. And you make these commitments. How many have said things like that? Raise your hand. Okay, me too. We say those things, but 2 weeks later, we're back in the same spot that we were before we made the commitment. We're back in the same spot. Psalm 61:8 says this, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Listen, daily, teenager, daily, daily, daily. You can come up to an altar at a camp or a conference and make a big decision, but unless you're making that decision every day of your life, then you're not going to keep it. Listen, I gave up. I said a long time ago, I'm not going to listen to the wrong kind of music that's going to hurt me spiritually. Listen, please listen. I'm not going to listen to the wrong kind of music that's going to hurt me spiritually. And you know what? I have to make that decision every single day. Listen, I can listen to the wrong kind of music anytime I wanted to. I got an iPhone. I can listen to anything I want. I'm an adult. I have to make the choice. I'm not going to do that daily. I said a while, I'm not going to drink alcohol. I could get alcohol if I wanted to. I could go out to the store and buy a bottle of beer and drink. I could. I'm not drinking today either. You know, it's the way it is. It's a daily decision. You say, you know what? I need to respect my parents more. Daily, you got to make that decision. When you get home tonight, you've got to make that decision. When you wake up tomorrow morning, or maybe your mom will wake you up and you want to yell at her, you're going to make, I'm going to respect my parents. I'm going to respect my parents. We're not consistent. That's why we don't stay committed. Instead, we consistently don't read our Bibles or don't pray, or we consistently disrespect authorities and we do what feels good for us. And that's what we're consistent in, not doing the things we're supposed to do. Be consistent in the right things. Being consistent means, man, it's a habit. It's a good habit. Listen, brushing your teeth. I hope you're consistent in brushing your teeth and taking a shower. That's important stuff. And even more important than those kind of things, guys, is your heart. Listen, it's your heart, guys. Saying, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I may not understand what it says. I may not know what it means, but I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to try to pray. I don't know how to pray. I don't know if God hears me, but I'm going to try my best to talk to God every day. I'm going to be consistent in that. I'm going to consistently be a witness and tell people about Jesus. Hey, I'm going to consistently go to church and be faithful to God's house. Guys, the reason you don't stay committed is because we're not consistent. We're only consistent in breaking promises to God sometimes. It's the only thing we do on a regular basis is fail and break the promises that we made to God. We must be consistent in the things that God wants us to do. Go to Proverbs 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Continually committed. Why don't we stay committed? Number one, we're not cautious. Number two, we're not consistent. Number three, look at Proverbs 11, 14. It says this, listen. Proverbs 11, 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Number three, why don't we stay committed? We don't get godly counsel. We don't get godly counsel. Let me fill you in on something, teenager. Your friends that you may have at school that aren't saved or that don't want to serve God, they don't have the answers to life's questions. They don't have the solution to your problems. They're not going to guide you probably in the right direction. Hey, you know what? Your favorite singer doesn't have all the answers. See, oh, this song, it just speaks to me. Yeah. I think I used to say stupid stuff like that. You know? Listen, your favorite singer, your favorite artist doesn't have all the answers. They don't. They don't. But God, listen. God has placed people in your life that love you, that care about you, that want to see you do great things for God. He has given you godly counsel. He has given you, in some cases, parents that love you and that want you to do great things for God. Some of you have good, godly, Christian parents that support the things that you do for the Lord. Some of you don't have that, and I'm sorry. But even every one of us, you have a godly pastor that loves you and cares about you. You have a youth pastor that loves you and that prays for you. Listen, guys, God has put people in your life that love you, that care about you, that want to see you do great things. And the reason a lot of times that you don't stay committed to God, and I'm almost done, so hold on, we're done in a few minutes. The reason that you don't stay committed to what you told God you would do is a lot of times because you don't get godly counsel. Maybe you're struggling with something. You're like, man, I don't know what to do. I'll go talk to my friends about it. Bad move. Or I won't talk to anybody about it. Listen, God has placed people in your life to help you, to help guide you. Like I said, parents, a pastor, a youth pastor, Miss Marissa, maybe your grandparents that love you and that want to see you do great things for God. Listen, everybody in this room has got somebody that cares about you and that can help you. And when they come to you concerned about something that you're doing, listen. When they come to you concerned about something that you're doing, decisions that you're making that are wrong, and you get mad at them instead, your heart's not right. It's not right. God has placed people in your life to help you, that love you, that care about you, that want you to be successful Christians, that want you to be in God's will. Listen, you think, my goodness, you think those of you who live in rough areas and that live in the ghetto and that culture, you think that I want you to live that life your entire life? You really think that? Because I don't. And I hope you don't. I hope you're not okay with, in some people's eyes, being set. Some of you think of yourself as so low that you can't do anything for God. Just stop. And that's the reason I get so fired up, is because I want you to realize that you can do great things for God. But so often, you'd rather deal with it yourself and you don't get godly counsel. My goodness, teenager, please, I'm begging you. God placed people in your life for a reason. Talk to us. I mean, you're going through something in life, talk to us. Don't put your stinking headphones in and try to let some singer, some artist sing your blues away. Stop. Because the song ends and the problem's still there. Get help, teenager. You got people that love you and care about you. Be thankful when they come to you concerned about something. If I come to you and say, you know what, I've seen you struggling with this, don't get mad at me. I'm not going to do it like a jerk. I'm going to try not to do it like a jerk. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at Miss Marissa or some of these workers and say, man, you're struggling with this. Be thankful that someone cares enough to try to help you. Don't think you have all the answers. Some of the biggest spiritual decisions and changes that I've ever made, God gave me the answer or challenged me through counsel that he's placed in my life. My dad telling me, you need to do this, or this is what you should do, or Pastor Rich is my youth pastor. People in this church that have said, you know what? I've seen this in your life. Can you meet? And it's helped me and it's changed me. And if I had pride, I would have got mad at him and said, yeah, that's stupid. I'm not listening to that. No, but I want to be humble. I want to be humble and be helped. God's placed people in your life for a reason, teenager. Instead, your parent that loves you and cares about you so much, you mouth off to him instead. And the people that God's placed in your life to help you, you treat them like garbage. You disrespect them. I did that. When you're going through something difficult or struggling with sin or your heart's broken, don't hold it all in. Don't hold it all in. Some of you have been abused. Some of you have been hurt. Some of you have been abandoned. And you have all that bitterness and hurt and you bottle up inside. And that's why you have anger. And that's why you have bitterness. And that's why God can't truly use you, because you refuse to let it out. You refuse to talk about it. Talk about it, teenager. Get help. Go to Revelation 2. We're almost done. Teenager, I want you to be continually committed. I want you to be continually committed. I don't want you to, every time we go to a rally, every time we go to a conference, you're making the same decision over and over again. And you know what? The youth group's going to be done soon for you in a few years. And you'll be an adult, and you're not going to have youth conferences, and you're not going to have youth rallies, and you're not going to have campouts, and you're not going to have teen revivals anymore. And that's where the rubber meets the road. So you figure it out now. You're going to go through life miserable. Number four, why don't we stay committed? Number one, we're not cautious. Number two, we're not consistent. Number three, we don't get godly counsel. And number four, look at Revelation 2 and look at verse 2. It says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. Now hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And those are good things right there. The Lord's talking there to a church and at Ephesus, and he's saying, listen, you guys are, you're working hard, you're patient, you're not around the wrong kind of people, and blah, blah, blah. Verse 3, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. See, man, you guys are look like you're doing all the right things. You're working hard. And look what he says in verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Yeah, they looked good, and they looked like they were doing things right. but deep inside had gotten away from what was important. Number four, why don't we stay committed? Number one, we're not cautious. Number two, we're not consistent. Number three, we don't get good counsel. And number four, why don't we stay committed? Because we don't care. Bottom line, we care about what we want, what we love, what we care about, what we want to do. When it comes to our Bible, the Word of God, we don't care. When it comes to prayer, talking to God, we don't care. When it comes to people in our lives that are lost, that are on their way to hell, family, friends, anybody, we just don't care. Our parents, honoring them, we don't care. God's will for our life, we don't care. We just don't really care. And that's why we don't stay committed. Hey, at that moment at the altar, we cared. We really did care. Yeah, we're down there and we say, Lord, I want to do this or that, the other thing. Lord, I really mean it. But not long after, other things begin to take priority and we just don't care. We care about us. Hey, we care about us. We care about you. I care about me. And what God wants and what God commands, I just kind of, whatever, you know. It doesn't really have an effect. Bottom line, guys, why don't we stay committed? We just don't care. Trey, can I use you for a minute, buddy? Illustration. Drake is going to be the Lord in this illustration, okay? And, yeah, it sounds like, oh, really? Hey, man. When you're a committed teenager, I'll be the committed teenager, okay? Let's say you go to Teen Spec or you go to a rally, whatever it may be, even a church service like this, and you say, I'm going to be committed. I'm going to live for the Lord, and I really mean it. And you know what you do? You get committed to the Lord, okay? Okay.
I like this.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, here I am, Christian teenager. I'm committed to the Lord. We're going together. This is us, man. I love the Lord. I want to follow Him. I want to serve Him. You know what? Here's the thing. When people in the world see me, because I'm committed, people know I'm a Christian. Hey, they know what I believe. Hey, they know that I'm not going to skip church to hang out because I'm committed. Listen, God's right here next to me. Man, He's all I want to talk about. He's all I care about. I'm committed. You know what? When you're a committed Christian, when you're a committed teenager, and you're locked with the Lord, man, when someone comes into your life, man, the Lord's right there to help you. I mean, you can lean on Him. He can help you. When you have a question or prayer, God's right here. I can talk to Him. Well, I'm committed. I'm committed. Come up here. I got to look at my notes real quick. Okay? Oh, yep, I got it. Oh, here's another one. When you're committed to the Lord, and I'm about to do something stupid, God's right here saying, hey, don't do it, do it.
Hey, no.
See? Listen, truth, conviction, because you're committed. Listen, when God wants to talk to me, He's right here. I'm committed. I can hear Him. But here's what happens. We go to a rally or camp or whatever, and we make that decision. We get committed. Then we get home, get around our friends, get around our computers, whatever it may be. And we kind of just, you know, hey, we're still Christians. We're still saved. But we're not staying committed. And we want to hang out with our friends. And I want to listen to my music. And, you know, I want to laugh at those jokes that maybe I shouldn't be, or I watch that show. And really, listen, God wants you to be committed. God wants you to be locked in, but He's not going to force it. And listen, He may try to convict us sometimes, and I want you to do this. I want you to follow, kind of follow what I'm going with. But here I am getting ready to do something stupid, and I'm not committed like I should be. Listen, if you're a Christian, God's going to try to talk to you about it. And I want you to just kind of, don't grab me. Just kind of come a little closer and try to almost maybe whisper something in my ear as I'm getting ready to do something stupid. And you're getting ready to sin and come on over. And we kind of just, you know, we're Christians. We're saved. But no, I'd rather do this. And listen, God's not going to fight us. He's a gracious God. We have the free will to make decisions. And God wants to get close to us. And we just kind of resist him. And you know what we start doing? We say, you know what, Lord? I want you just over there for a minute. I want to do what I'm doing this right now. Hey, we're cool, but I want to do this right now. And I want to be around my friends right now and listen, you know. And we're not committed. And you know what's really sad, teenagers? Stay right there. We lose that relationship. And people don't know. Hey, when I'm right with God, people know I'm a Christian. But when I'm just kind of like, no, how am I different than anybody else? A peculiar people, the Bible calls us. Listen, come up from among them, be separate. Not really, not when you're not committed. You're just like the rest of the crowd. Be not conformed to this world, is what the Bible says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which means it's changing the way that you think. Thinking biblically. When you're not committed, you say, no, I don't really need that. I love you, I really do. But I just got some things that I'd rather do than be committed. We push them away. And listen, it's like, here's what we do. We want to call the shots. You know what? I want to be close, but just not too close. You know? I want to go to church. Hey, when I get to church, I want people to think, hey, man, me and God. Hey, but when I get home, listen, we'll be close, but not too close. I don't want to have to give up my music, you know? Hey, we're saved. Hey, you know what? I don't want to give up my friends. So we'll be close, but just not too close. You know what's sad is it always ends up not being close at all. And God's there and he's waiting for us to get right with him. And you know what happens so often is we're in the middle of something. And something happens in our life. Something bad happens in our life. We lose a loved one. Something happens. We screw up. We do something really stupid. And we're not committed. And we're like, hey, and I need to get right with the Lord. Hey, what do I do? And God, hey, God, where are you? Lord, hey, I'm committed. Remember I was committed? Lord, I want to be right with you, Lord. Hey, where are you? And we're looking around, but we're not committed. So where's he at? And we're looking around, and God's there. And he knows. But we get stuck. It's a lot harder to get back when you're not committed. And you don't have someone to lean on. That's why you fall flat in your face. And you're so discouraged. And you're so angry. And you're so bitter. Because you're not committed. And thankfully, God's always there to welcome us back. Teenager, I would much rather have this kind of relationship with God than this. And some of you are doing this right now. Even as I preach, God is trying to talk to you and tell you, hey, you need to make changes. Hey, I want to have a relationship with you. Hey, I need you. You should be reading your Bible, be reading my word. Hey, I want to talk to you. I want you to live for me. I want you to do right. And this is what you're doing to God right now, even as I preach. Say, no. I like the way things are right now. Things are cool. And listen, you don't want it. You don't want it. You don't care. Thank you, Drake. The reason we don't stay committed is because we don't care. Can I tell you what a truly committed teenager is, and we'll be done? I wish I had time to go to all the passages. How many say, Pastor Donald? And be honest, you don't have to raise your hand. No, I won't have to raise your hand because I don't want because probably what happens is everybody will do it just because they don't want to look like an idiot. In your heart, I want you to answer the question. I would hope all of you say, you know what? I want to be a truly committed Christian teenager. I want to be a truly committed, not one of these Christians, but I mean, I want to be a committed Christian teenager. I want to live for God, really. A truly committed teenager has a right heart with God. That means whatever God says, you're going to listen to. You're going to obey it. You're not going to fight against it. Christian teenager has a desire to serve God. Truly committed Christian teenager has a desire to serve God. Say, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. A desire to please God. Not please yourself. Not do what you want to do. But Lord, I want you to be happy with me. I want you to be pleased with me. That's a truly committed teenager. A non-committed teenager says, I don't really care what God thinks. I want to be happy. A truly committed Christian teenager not only has a desire to please God, but acts upon those desires. Listen, I bet a lot of you say, you know, I do want to please God. The problem is you just don't want to act on that desire. You won't commit, really. A truly committed Christian teenager acts on those desires to please God and reads the Bible and lives it and prays and witnesses and honors their parents and uses the right kind of language and speech and listens to godly music and encourages other people and the faithful to church, looks like a Christian, refrains from sin, respects authority. Listen, I know it's not just a list that you check off. It's your heart is the main thing. But what's going on in your heart will show on the actions that you do. Truly committed teenagers. That's what I want. That's what I want you to be. I hope that that's what you want. Not just this half-hearted commitment. That's really not a commitment at all. It's just vain repetition, just words. I want you to have a true desire to live for God. And not just a desire, but acting on those desires. Being cautious. Listen, if you're not cautious, you're going to fall away. Being consistent. Hey, getting godly counsel. Realizing there's people that want to help you. And caring. Sadly enough, the reason a lot of you won't stay committed is because you're not cautious. You're not consistent. You're not getting counsel. And you just don't care. But even if just one teenager tonight says, you know what? I'm ready to be a truly committed Christian teenager. I'm done playing these games. I've been playing these youth conference games. You know, I'll go to youth conference and make a big decision and cry on the altar and then do what I want. I'm done playing those games. It's for real now. It's for real. If God can really die on the cross for me, then I can really live for him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.